Good evening. This is Edward October, host of OctoberPod on YouTube. Jen and Cam have asked me to say a few words about our true crime podcast. There's nothing quite like discussing a juicy murder with a friend. True crime buffs are well versed in shootings, knifings, axings, poisonings, and violent defenestrations. But such matters are not for little ears. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everyone, this is Kim from the People Are Wild podcast, channeling my inner NSYNC fangirl, and here to wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Take it from this ER nurse, be safe out there, and try to avoid seeing me at my place of work this holiday season.
This is Edward October, and everyone here at OctoberPod would like to thank our True Crime Podcast for their unwavering support of the show. And to all of you out there, believers, non-believers, and I want to believers alike, let's all embrace the true spirit of peace on earth, goodwill to women and men. Thank you.
Cam, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Today is the fifth Nightmare Before Christmas, right?
The fifth Nightmare Before Christmas.
And I've got something for you.
Deck the halls with knives and guns.
Ra, 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 ra.
I guess we should just dive right into it. Oh, well, no. If you haven't listened, you got some in the front end. You got four cases in front of us. We're releasing an episode every day. Some of them are pretty short. Some of them are a little bit longer. We are doing 12 episodes of Murder and Mayhem to delight and horrify you prior to your wonderful holiday celebration.
And we are going to be ending this on the 23rd of December and taking a short break to spend time with our lovely family.
You need to say that again, Jen, but say it with a little bit more like that you want that to happen.
We're going to be taking a short break and spending time with our lovely family.
There you go. Much more.
And we will be back with regular episodes on January 9th.
Hey, and just a special shout out and thank you to our good buddy, Edward October. If you checked out the very awesome personalized listener discretion at the beginning, just a huge thank you to him. It was just awesome.
He did that on his own.
I know. It's so cool. Didn't,
he's awesome. Please check out his YouTube site.
OctoberPod.
OctoberPod VHS.
All right. Well, let's hit it.
All right. So day five, we are going to talk about Joseph Mad Dog Taborsky.
Ooh, I think that's like how his last mafia name.
It does, doesn't it? Mm. I think that's how it's pronounced. T-A-B-O-R-S-K-Y Taborsky. Sounds about right, right?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Okay. So our friend Mad Dog here, he was born on March 23rd.
Wait, I want a nickname like that. We should give each other mafia nicknames.
Okay.
Let's think on that.
Okay.
I'm going to think about it and we'll talk about that.
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
Mad Dog was born on March 23rd, 1924 in Hartford, Connecticut. His first murder happened on his 26th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Nothing says happy birthday and celebrating another year with a little armed robbery.
Putting a couple caps to a liquor store owner's head. Nothing's better.
Happy
birthday. And his younger brother, Albert Taborsky, they went to a liquor store that was owned by Lewis Wolfson. I don't know if they went there to rob the liquor store or what, but according to Albert, Joseph came out and said, "Hey, the store owner, he jumped me. We got to get out of here."
Can one be jumped when you're robbing them? I guess. Okay, go ahead.
The store owner was shot in the head, and he actually survived for about 3 days afterwards. But before he died, he did give a description matching Mad Dog, who, of course, was already known by the police department.
Mm-hmm.
Albert was never the strongest or the toughest of...
So he was Sad Dog Taborsky.
He was sad, sad dog. And he was racked with guilt. He knew they would be pinned for these murders and face getting the death penalty.
Old Sparky.
Right. Under the pressure of the police and his mother, which tells you how he was, he turned himself in, ratted his brother out. And in January of 1951, for testifying against his brother, Albert got a life sentence while Joseph...
Mad Dog
got the death penalty. And he was shipped to Wethersfield Prison, and his execution date was set for November 7th. Kind of happened quick back then, didn't it?
Sure did. So none of that 20 years appeals.
Right. And I thought this was kind of interesting, too. While he was on death row, his part of his job was cleaning up the execution chamber after the deaths of other inmates. Ugh. And he had to do that at least 3 different times.
That's terrible.
Could you imagine?
No.
I mean,
I know what happens. I've heard.
No, I've heard too. But what
knowing
a gruesome penalty.
Right? Knowing that's going to be used.
That's
now?
Almost.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, that's almost like just perfect.
Cruel and unusual punishment.
I kind of like it anyway. You know, Albert, he's the weakest link, mm-hmm. as we all know. Kind of suffered a little nervous breakdown when he was in prison.
The pokey.
And he showed signs of mental illness, so they institutionalized him. He was sent off to a mental hospital. Well, Joseph learned that his brother was going a bit crazy. He filed for an appeal because he knew without his brother's testimony, he could probably win the appeal.
Plus, you could say your brother was insane and that you
exactly. He was sent off to an insane asylum.
Mad Dog got lucky. Now he's lucky dog.
Exactly. He's a lucky Mad Dog. Since his brother was the only witness to the murder, he did appeal for a retrial and he was released because he didn't have anybody to testify against him.
Wow.
This killed me. After he was released, he swore, public statement, I've learned my lesson. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay far away from anything that would ever put me back into prison again.
At least for
I'm not even going to get
hours.
A parking ticket. So guess what happened after he was released from prison?
I bet you he didn't get a parking ticket.
He met another ex-con.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This guy. His name was Arthur.
Did he have a nickname?
His nickname? Meatball.
Meatball and Mad Dog.
Another felon. His name was Meatball.
Okay, if you were
going to
have a nickname, like I want it to be B.A. I don't want it to be called Meatball.
Meatball.
Nope.
Well, I don't think he was really smart. So I think that's why he probably got the
meatball head. Meathead. Okay. Go ahead.
Soon after they met, what's two ex-felons supposed to do? Two felons, I guess, really. They went on a spree of robbing gas stations and liquor stores and other small businesses.
I'm glad to see that Mad Dog stayed on the straight and narrow.
Yeah. And that's kind of how Mad Dog got his name, actually. Because he wasn't Mad Dog the first time he was in prison.
He was just Dog.
Exactly. Then he went mad while he was in prison. They basically killed 6 people in this little killing spree.
Oh, okay.
And they brutalized people. Actually, one grocery store robbery, there was a 3-year-old little girl running around the store as Mad Dog was beating her grandparents to unconsciousness.
Nice.
Mad Dog ordered Meatball to shoot the little girl, but instead, Meatball hit her beneath the deli case and told her to be quiet.
Good.
He fired a shot in the floor, and then he told Mad Dog.
Meatball put her in the meat case.
And he told her to be quiet. When they left the scene, Mad Dog thought that Meatball really had killed the little girl. The first murder victim that they had together was a gas station attendant, and his name was Edward Kropersky, and the customer was Daniel Janowski. That happened on December 12th, 1956. Both were shot execution style, back of the head. Edward, the gas station attendant, was just working late that night, and the other one just was bad play.
Wrong time.
Yeah. The next one was Samuel Cohen. He owned a liquor store. And the day after Christmas, December 26th, he went talked to the last customer of the evening, and it just happened to be Meatball and Mad Dog, and they shot him in the chest and left him to die on the liquor store floor.
That's terrible.
Then they decided to rob a shoe store.
Oh, stepping on up.
Mad Dog.
Get it? Stepping.
Stepping. Shoes. That's, yeah. As Mad Dog was beating the store owner.
With a shoe?
Brutally. No, with the butt of his pistol. Pistol whipping, I believe, is what they called it.
I'm getting a little slap happy.
You are.
It's been a while.
Bernard Spire and his wife, Ruth, decided at that time, hey, I need a new pair of shoes. So they went in the store as the poor store owner was being pistol whipped.
And a bad day then.
Mad Dog shot the couple, but he didn't kill the store owner, which he normally did.
Did he just not realize that he didn't?
he just, I don't know, for some reason he didn't. Well, the store owner was able to say who it was. Oh. Or he was able to give the police a full description. And, this is what I love, added that the assailant had an unusual size 12 shoe. Funny, huh? I mean, how funny is that?
Very.
It's great, right?
Because,
yeah. Funny. So, because he had arrived pretending to buy a pair of shoes. Yeah. That's what happened.
That humor's not lost on me.
I know. The detectives promptly searched the files for every ex-convict in Connecticut that had a size 12 shoe. And
you know what they say they about weren't, 12, size 12 shoes?
They need big galoshes?
Yes.
They weren't even surprised when Joseph Mad Dog Trabowski's name popped up on the size 12 shoe ex-convict list. Which, could you imagine trying to file? How would they even look through that through all the... On January 26th, 1957, the two men shot John Rosenthal, who was a pharmacist. Aww. Shot him in the chest and, true to form, left him to die at his pharmacy. So this would be the last murder that Mad Dog commits.
Did they take drugs and money or just money? Or...
Didn't even say.
Oh, okay.
Police arrested Mad Dog and Meatball on February 23rd, 1957, only a month shy of the 7th anniversary of Mad Dog murdering the first liquor store owner, Lewis Wolfson. Meatball was scared to death, of course, of going to the electric chair. Mm-hmm. So he just totally ratted Mad Dog out.
Saying like a canary.
And I'm telling you, that's what I do too. Meatball confessed of being involved in 8 robberies, but he was only the getaway driver and he never killed anybody himself. And he even told them about the little girl in the deli, what he did that he hit her.
Look at him being an angel.
Since Meatball had a very low IQ and that he showed mercy to the little girl, mm-hmm. he just got a life sentence.
Oh, okay.
And of course, Mad Dog got the death penalty again. He waived his right to appeal and he just waited for a sentence to be carried out. He never really talked about his murders, never confessed anything, but he did give his life story to a journalist by the name of Gerald DeMusi, who wrote the book 10 Weeks of Terror, The Chronicle of the Making of a Killer. And I didn't look it up to see if it's still available. And a la Truman Capote style of In Cold Blood, mm-hmm. Gerald DeMusi was in the room with Mad Dog when he was electrocuted.
Oh.
The date of execution for Mad Dog was set on May 17th, 1960. Like I said, he never talked about his crimes, and he always denied that he didn't kill Lewis Wolfman. Always denied it when brought it up. He never said he did. Never confessed.
Hmm.
But a few days before this execution, he did confess to all of his murders.
Oh.
And, weird, he donated his eyes. Now, can you do that when you're electrocuted?
I thought that they taped him shut because they pop out.
I don't know, but it just said he donated his eyes, so I don't know.
Huh, I don't know either.
Maybe he was just like, yeah, yeah, go ahead and donate it. It's real nice. Pat you on the back, but we're really going to, they pop.
I thought they did.
When it was time for Mad Dog to be sent to the chair, and as he was dead man walking, uh-huh. you know, and he was sent down, uh-huh. he was able to say goodbye to all the prisoners on death row.
Uh-huh.
He even shook hands with Meatball.
I mean, why are you going to harbor any feelings then? You
I know
what I mean?
And Meatball even wished him luck no matter where he went.
Oh, huh. Okay.
And then he told one prisoner, Benny Reed, which I wasn't able to find out what Benny Reed was in prison for. When he went to say goodbye to Benny, he told Benny not to worry because he was going to come back as a fly as soon as
weird.
It was over, right?
Ooh.
Trzeborski sat in the electric chair, and as they were putting all the electrodes on his legs and before they strapped down his arms, he like kind of waved and goes, hey, hi, to... the author, Gerald DeMusi, was only 5 feet away. No protection from him or anything.
Same room.
So, same room. At 10:36 on May 17th, 1960, Mad Dog was declared dead. I read a little article from Gerald, the journalist, and he's like, once it was all over, no one could wait to get out of that room. The stench.
Ew, really?
All that kind of stuff. It was bad. And that it wasn't his first time watching an execution. Mm-hmm. Here's something that's kind of fun. As
death is.
Being death sentences. Moments after Mad Dog was declared dead, there was a...
Now he's dead dog.
Dead dog. There was a horrible scream coming from death row. And it seemed that there suddenly was a black fly in Benny Reed's cell.
Shut
right
up.
Over his head.
Ew.
Benny.
Freaked.
Freaked out.
Oh,
he could not. He had to be restrained and he was sent to a psych ward for 3 months.
Oh,
So that kind of commuted his sentence, which in the long run helped him because the state of Connecticut went to not doing electrocutions anymore and actually not even the death penalty for a while. And what's neat about, well, not what's neat, but interesting, let's say, about Joseph Mad Dog Taborsky is he is the only man in the state of Connecticut that had been sentenced to death twice. And he was also known as the last man to be electrocuted in the state of Connecticut.
Interesting.
In 2005, I believe there was another person put to death in Connecticut, but it was done by a lethal injection.
I think electrocution, it's pretty barbaric. Like, who came up with that? You know what I mean? Like, hanging and shooting, I get.
The guillotine?
Yeah, but that's just chopping the head off. That seems more, that's quick. Electrocution is just a, but, like, who thought of that?
I'm going to look that up. But wouldn't you think, but here's the deal. Maybe it's a little sadistic of me, but don't you think that maybe if you have something creepy and barbaric as a punishment, it might deter people a little bit?
No, it doesn't. You would think, but it doesn't. You would think.
Oh, no.
That was a good case. Okay, let's talk mafia nicknames.
Okay.
So usually you have to get a nickname that goes with something you do. Like, you know, Mad Dog because he was crazy and Meatball because he was dumb.
Mm-hmm. You could be Cam Netflix.
Oh, it's terrible. I wanted something more
bad. Oh, let's see. What?
Like, something you do. I'm trying to think, like, you know, like, Lefty, you know, Lefty, Bugs. I'm
trying to think of Teach. No. Cam the Teach. Cam.
No. I don't know. We'll get back to that. I want a nickname. Oh, and you got to just go by Lefty. You know what I mean?
Okay, we'll think about it. If any of our listeners have any good mafia names for,
like,
us.
I want to be like, you know, Deadeye. Deadeye.
I would be like Ice Pick.
Something. Yeah.
And for all those whippersnappers out there that don't know what an ice pick is, it's true. This sharp little instrument that
people still use that, don't
not
they?
Really. Ice used to be only sold in blocks.
Giant
like one
blocks.
Giant block.
Hence
and you
the
would
name
take
ice box. You would have like a giant cooler and you'd put it
in a box. Yeah. So you would take this sharp object that was just a pick and you would pick the ice. Hence the name ice pick.
Funny how that works. Maybe you could be ice pick Jen.
Actually, right now it's fridge leaker because our refrigerator keeps leaking. It's driving me crazy. We had to turn off the ice maker.
Anyway, great story. Remember,
interesting.
Lock your doors.
Keep passing by those open windows.
Bye bye.
Love ya.
I didn't do that.
All right. Little love between friends.
Half the world has boobs. Well, technically everybody has boobs. Mm-hmm. All mammals have boobs. There we go. Okay, I'll quit talking. I told you Heron said that. Mm-hmm. Well, he's kind of cute. And he's like, you think everybody's cute.
You do think everybody's cute.
I do, but I can't. Not everybody. I've met some ugly people in my life.
That you find something cute about them.
That is true. Very awesome, personalized promo. No,
not download.
Listener
discretion. Joseph Mad Dog Taborsky. Taborsky. Tabarsky. His name was Arthur.
Did he have a nickname?
I think it was Arthur. Hold on. I think it was Arthur. Yeah, he did have it. His name was Arthur.
Oh, no nickname.
Let me see if I've got that right. I believe it was Arthur. But I don't even think I call him Arthur. Arthur.
What's his nickname?
Yeah, I'm just going to call him Arthur.
Cam Dog. I could be Cam Dog.
You can be Cam
Dog.
Didn't
we do that once? We did do that.
Another felon, an ex-felon. His name was Meatball.
Okay, if you were
Columbi. I think C-U-L-O-M-B-E. Columba?
I said Columbi.
Edward Kerpersky? Kerpowski? Kerpuski? K-E-R-P-E-W-S-K-I.
You say it however you want.
Kerpuski.
Case. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, Edward.
Okay, go ahead.
Bernard Buster Brown Spire. His nickname was Buster, but Buster Brown. Because you know
Brown
the Buster
shoes.
Brown shoes. I know, I love Buster Brown shoes. Mad Dog's date of...